Good morning. I'm Kara Lawrence, and I have four guests here in the studio today, and we are so excited to share details on two performances, Friday and Sunday, coming up at Miller Auditorium, presented by the School of Music at Western Michigan University. This is a concert that brings together music from Don Giovanni by Mozart, the opera, as well as music of Gustav Mahler. It is called The Great Beyond. Some big weighty themes in this concert concept. And here is the list of guests I have to chat about it. The director of opera, Carl Ratner. Nice to have you here.
Great to be here.
Thank you for being a devoted listener to Classical WMUK. Appreciate you tuning in for the operas on Saturdays.
Yes, right.
And along with Dr. Ratner, we have a list of student performers who are major cast members. Mackenzie Wells is Donna Anna. We have Brooke Linebaugh as Donna Elvira. And we have John Graham, who plays Mazzetto, all parts in Don Giovanni. Thank you very much for joining us, too.
Yes.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. This is an ambitious concert, but it's not out of... It is in line with the opera program, Carl, because every single year you present opera for audiences at Western Michigan University, sometimes in the Dalton Center Recital Hall, but in this case, back at Miller Auditorium. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah, we're very lucky to be collaborating with the University Symphony Orchestra, and we're very happy about that. And originally, the program was conceived for the recital hall, but it just seemed like it would be too cramped under current conditions to get the whole orchestra and a cast on that stage. And so we requested to transfer the concert into Miller.
Has the rehearsals have begun in Miller Auditorium?
Yes. In fact, that's another what I would call a stroke of good luck, because since many events in Miller had been canceled due to the pandemic, we were able to get more time than we would normally be able to have over there. And the staff has really been wonderful to us.
Anyone who drives by or walks by the Miller Auditorium interactive playbill thing on Howard Street knows that most of the dates are pushed into February, March, April. So those are the confirmed concerts coming up. So yeah, you had space available for this and a chance for your students to experience a big hall like they might in future performances. So let's talk about why Don Giovanni and how it's being edited or what is the correct word? Abridged.
Yes.
to present.
Yes.
On Friday and Sunday.
We every year, of course, we look at which students that we have, and we need to do a piece that our students will do creditably, and Don Giovanni worked for that, and also a piece that complements the orchestra repertory in this case. So Don Giovanni seemed like the right mix for both groups, and then we wanted to have, in order that more of the orchestra would get a chance to participate in the concert, that's how we arrived at the Mahler/Mozart combination, but also because they both have, let's say, afterlife themes. they went together interestingly, for sure. And so what we essentially are doing is doing the bulk of Act One, which establishes each of the characters and why Don Giovanni is not their favorite person. And then the last thing in Act One before the finale just about is Don Giovanni's famous champagne aria, you know, announcing that there'll be a big party at which he can meet more female conquests. And so we simply then followed with the Act Two finale, which is another party at which much mayhem occurs.
Yeah.
And so so essentially we have the equivalent of a one-act version of Don Giovanni.
How staged is this performance? Will the orchestra be in a pit or on stage, for example?
The orchestra is on the I guess you'd say it's the reverse. The orchestra is on the usual Miller stage, and the acting is taking place on the raised pit.
Okay.
And we have, you know, we don't have any walls or fences to block the orchestra. A couple of trees and a bench and a table. And also, I should say that we, for a variety of reasons, besides the piece being abridged, we're doing a sort of another layer of concept for the production. And that is, the production is celebrating the first complete recording of the opera, the first full-length recording of the opera, which was made at the Glyndebourne Festival in 1936, a famous old recording. And so we are sort of going back and forth from the idea that these are singers in the 30s recording the opera to acting out parts of the scenes as they would have in the stage production that immediately preceded the recording.
Well, that's terrific. I mean, that gives you a lot of flexibility in bringing it over and, you know, not feeling incomplete.
Exactly.
You've got a world within a world. That's terrific. So perhaps I could go along and talk briefly to each of the cast members who are here. Unfortunately, Don Giovanni, Sidney West, is not here today, but I would like to start with Mackenzie Wells. Your role is Donna Anna, and you are a graduate student at Western Michigan University.
Yes.
So this is not your first operatic role, is my guess?
No, I have done some different scenes programs, both in my undergrad and in some summer programs. But it's definitely the first time in a long time that I've gotten to perform on stage. Just due to COVID restrictions and the such, it has been so wonderful to be back in a physical space with castmates and in an auditorium. So that's amazing.
And then with an audience.
Yes.
Friday, 8 o'clock, and Sunday, is that a 2 o'clock performance on Sunday?
3
o'clock, yep. On Sunday. Full details, in case you don't trust my facts, are at the School of Music website, wmich.edu/music/events, where you'll find the details and a link to the ticket page. It is a ticketed event. So, Mackenzie, it's been a long time. You will probably get a little bit of a high from seeing an audience there and
yes.
singing, but it's simply a lot of work. Could you possibly guess how much percentage of your time is going toward this performance versus everything else you need to do as a grad student?
Oh, goodness. lots of rehearsals in the evenings that we've been doing, so there's time dedicated to that, as well as working my personal music in the show on my own time. So there's practice room hours dedicated to that as well.
At some point, does stage direction factor in? As can you work on, you know, where you're supposed to be walking to and interacting on your own?
To a certain extent, you can think about it. I always like to make sure all of my blocking is written in my music, so that once we kind of get to that point, that even though my music's memorized, I like to go back and lay it all out in front of me so I can visualize, even if I'm not walking it through, because that's not as effective without the space. But being able to kind of walk it through in my mind of, this is why I'm doing this when, and I'm moving here, definitely helps in a repetition.
It's part of the score.
Yeah.
Wow, cool. Let me have a chance to talk to Brooke Linebaugh now. Brooke, you are a senior in vocal performance, so also no stranger to singing a role and preparing a role like this. Perhaps I'll ask you, if you turn that mic a little closer, what you think of Mozart. Sometimes Mozart grows on people. Sometimes it's instant.
I love Mozart. I remember having to do a whole study on him for my sophomore hearing. That was quite intensive and nerve-wracking. But I've always loved him because it's amazing the amount of work he put out in his short lifetime. And it's amazing just you hear of child prodigies, but if I had to pick an ultimate child prodigy, I would put Mozart at the top of the list. And he had such a tragic, sad life. And to think about, you know, how he incorporated his own personal affairs into music, like in Don Giovanni, there's a lot of representation of his relationship with his own father in this opera. And you could see that in the final scene with the Commendatore and Don Giovanni. And it's just really interesting to watch when you learn the history behind his life and how he represented that in his music. I mean, with his final Requiem, he always had some superstition that he knew his time was coming, and he put that into his music. And it's just insane how somebody's mind was so broad and musically inclined. I can't imagine what went through in his short 30-some years of
life. He dies at 36.
Yeah.
Yes, of some crummy, congestive disease.
Yeah.
The Great Beyond, the name of the concert, it's starting to feel very apropos. University Symphony Orchestra and Opera. That's Friday at 8 o'clock and Sunday at 3 p.m., both performances in Miller Auditorium. You can find full details at the School of Music website. And finally, let's hear from John Graham, who is a sophomore as in the School of Music, vocal performance, also an extrovert is my...
I've been waiting here patiently because Dr. Ratner knows
very good.
It's not easy for me.
Yes, he's interacting with face gestures. John, let's hear the John Graham story. As a sophomore, you are on your way up through the program.
Yes.
Are you getting any opportunities to sing and grow as you go?
Oh, 100%. Like most people last year, I was sitting at home singing in my basement, irritating my parents and my dog and my brother. but it's been amazing. And obviously, Dr. Ratner, who is also my voice teacher as well as the opera director, just amazing opportunities here at Western, even more so in person.
You do know that, well, this is a piece of wisdom I've learned over the years, that it takes a while for voices to come into their own. So you've got to, you might be being carefully treated in lessons, like, no, let's not work on that.
That can be an issue, and it's an issue with everything in music. I'm also a saxophone player, and there are things like that. My sax teacher would always tell me, it's, hey, don't play fast yet because you're not playing well enough slowly. I'm a transfer student, so I spent 2 years at Lansing Community College before I came here, so I'm a little older than most sophomores, so my voice is a little more developed, but I'm not going to say, look at me, I'm so much older and more experienced than you, because I'm still learning like everybody.
So, John Graham, you are... you're singing a role called Musetto in this. It's a romantic interest part.
Yes. mostly he is quite, I don't know what's a good word for it, irritated and aghast at the actions of Zerlina and Don Giovanni and him trying to steal his bride from him.
Maybe for those who aren't putting it together, Don Giovanni is Don Juan. I mean, that's where it comes from. And the performances, again, are Friday and Sunday at 8 p.m. and 3 p.m. in Miller Auditorium. And if Andrew Kohler, the conductor, were here, he would definitely want us to mention that the program also includes music from Mahler's Fourth Symphony. Dr. Ratner, let's set up the first piece of music we will excerpt so that we can give our listeners a little preview of the performances on Friday and Sunday.
Yes, I think this is a good piece to start because it has a lot of different kinds of music in it. This is the very beginning of the opera after the overture. The overture sort of sets up the dichotomy between earthly life and eternal punishment in the hereafter. And then this excerpt, the very first sung excerpt, starts with Giovanni's servant Leporello complaining about his life as a servant of a guy who goes from woman's bedroom to woman's bedroom.
It's hard for him to respect his boss.
It's hard for him to respect his boss. Well, he respects his boss's talent for lying. But at any rate, so the boss is in the house of Donna Anna and her father, the Commendatore, which I play. And we never know. We know what Don Giovanni's intention is, to have his way with Donna Anna, but we never know exactly what has transpired. Each production has to sort of decide its own backstory, and the audience also has to. You don't want to be. Donna Anna tells a very clear narrative later about what happened, but there were no cameras in the room, so. But at any rate, they come rushing out of the house, and Donna Anna is trying to unmask him, and. Clearly, they've had a struggle before even entering. And then Donna Anna's father comes in and challenges Don Giovanni to a duel, an ill-advised action, Donna Anna's father being older and infirm. And he is quickly dispatched by Don Giovanni. And there's a very heartfelt trio at that point. Between Leporello, how did I ever get in this situation? I am breathing my last breath and saying I feel the spirit leaving my body. My heart is palpitating and the spirit is leaving my body. And Don Giovanni is like, yes, he got what he asked for, unfortunately.
He had it coming.
So, yes, exactly. And so it's a beautiful. So essentially there's three parts. Leporello's complaint, the interaction between Giovanni and Anna, and then the Commendatore, the duel, and the death.
Commendatore's death. Well, that sounds like a very tall order for any composer.
Yes, yeah.
Let's hear this scene from Don Giovanni in a recording provided here by Carl Ratner. It's led by Riccardo Muti.
Giorno fatidar, per chi nulla sa gradir, piova e vento sopportar, mangiar male e mal dormir.
That left us in a little bit of harmonic suspense.
Yeah. Sorry about that strange ending. It's one of the very unusual places that transitions directly into the recitative without really cadencing.
That was a beautiful, expressive piece that a whole lot of story was inserted into. If you just tuned in, we are listening to excerpts from the opera Don Giovanni. And an abridged version of this great work by Mozart is set to be performed at 8 o'clock Friday night and Sunday at 3 p.m. in Miller Auditorium. It is ticketed. You'll find details at the School of Music website, wmish.edu/music/events. And it's both the opera program coming together with the University Symphony Orchestra, led by Andrew Kohler, who will also lead the orchestra in music of Mahler on this concert as well. But we're focusing on the singing because, you know, that's where the star power actually lies. In the studio, we have the director of opera at WMU, Carl Ratner. We have Mackenzie Wells, Brooke Linebaugh, and John Graham from the cast. All have really interesting things to say about their characters and parts, and Brooke had beautiful things to say about Mozart, the composer, as well. So Donna Anna is in the scene we just heard. So, Mackenzie, tell us, as Carl explained, you've just lost your father.
Yes.
And kind of struggled with this predator seducer, Don Giovanni. How does the music enhance that situation?
Well, in the excerpt we just heard, we start with Leporello's song, which is kind of lilting and a little jokey. He's kind of the funny character, the lighthearted character in this opera. And we switch to this intense tempo that we're taking very fast, and you got to be right on top of it and following the conductor, because at a moment's notice it can get away from you. But that enhances this idea of just frantic anger and wanting to avenge a wrongdoing, if you will. So that definitely enhances that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then your quote, father dies on stage in front of you.
Yes. And in the recitative that follows, I come in with my fiance hoping to have brought my father help, and I discover him dead on the ground. And so that is the recit that follows, which is extremely emotional, both in my own line as well as in what the orchestra backs up this section. And it's really tragic, just switching from just complete and utter heartbreak, which is often heard in the string section, to just anger, and someone has to pay for this.
Yeah, you're shocked to your core.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And who is Donna Elvira? I mean, Donna Anna seems like a big enough storyline for
yes.
any full opera, but no, there's a really poignant female character named Donna Elvira.
Yeah, and it seems like that because you really could take every one of his conquests and turn it into a big story. But at the end of the day, even though they are people who had like intricate experiences with him, they're just another one of his conquests. Even though it meant so much more to them, it means little to him. And she is a lady and happened to come across Don Giovanni one day and ultimately became another one of his conquests. And
what was her marriage status?
She was married, I believe.
Well, this is a tricky question.
Oh.
And we find out the way that Don Giovanni works in the scene with Zerlina, because he says to her, well, we're going to go to the neighboring house. There we will exchange vows,
yeah.
and there you will become mine. And presumably that's something similar that happened
yes.
with Elvira. Essentially, they decided that they were married with all the benefits inherent thereunto, and then Don Giovanni just disappeared.
Yeah, so...
Oh,
so
that,
she regards herself as married.
Yes, because she is stuck in this... She wants vengeance, but she also has so much compassion for him, though I don't know how she finds it, but she does,
right.
and it's because she's lost in love, and that's how he... you know, got a hold of her for a second, was the promise of marriage. And she refuses to give that up. So she is on the prowl for this man. And she comes across as this crazy, sporadic character. But in reality, she is probably one of the most caring and deep-rooted characters. And people don't realize that, because out of everybody in this show, I would say she has the deepest compassion and regard for Don Giovanni, even though he doesn't deserve it.
This is one of your arias. It's fairly early in the act
yes.
one. What is she singing about here?
So this is kind of like her introduction into the show. And basically, she comes on and she's like, who's going to tell me where this man is, this man that tore out my heart, like I'm going to rain the heavens upon him. And Don Giovanni and Leporello are on the side like, oh, this poor woman, like they don't realize it's her. And they're like, oh, what's going on? Like, I should go help her. Like, I should go help her, wow. Quotations.
I mean, the callousness.
Yes.
The disregard. How could he not remember?
Exactly. And then when he finally discovers it's her towards the end of this aria, he's like, oh, no, not her. It's Donna Elvira. Like, oh, no, we got to backtrack. Like, but it's basically just her lamenting about how this guy tore out my heart and just played with my emotions, and I'm going to find him. I'm seeking vengeance. Where is he? I'm going to destroy this man. And he's on the side only caring about himself and what he could receive from this. And he's like, oh, I should go console her with my expert ways and emotional compassion.
We are listening to short highlights of music from Don Giovanni in anticipation of live concerts at 8 o'clock Friday night in Miller Auditorium, and Sunday as well, Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. They are ticketed events. I'm sure you can purchase them at the door, but you can also purchase them in advance through the School of Music website, wmish.edu/music/events. We just heard yet another aria that was about to transition to the continuation of Don Giovanni. Such an interesting topic. We've been highlighting on so many aspects of this strange story, Don Juan. I remember seeing it for the first time and laughing more than I thought I would. It's played as comic in a lot of areas, and yet the destruction that he leaves behind is really, really personal and hard to watch as well. There's death involved. You get killed, Carl. I mean,
yeah.
This is being staged at Miller, and in fact, there is a bit of a set. We will also get to see the orchestra on stage and a full cast. How big is the cast, actually, Carl?
It's 19 or 20 people.
That's quite a lot.
Yes.
Are they all singing at one time?
Or? Eight soloists and then a chorus of about 11. They're never all on stage at the same time in this production. It's interesting because Mozart could have used them in these party scenes, but in fact, he didn't have them sing. Of course, they're on stage. But the way it works out, we don't quite have everyone on stage at the same time.
Okay, well, on to another cast member and the big moment for them. That's John Graham. And John, actually, Dr. Ratner mentioned that this has a neat double layer in that it's not... We're not going to see 18th century clothing and dress. We're going to see the 1930s, as if this were the very first time it was staged in full.
The first complete recording. Made at the Glyndebourne Festival in England.
Yes. So is that what your costume reflects?
Oh, 100%. I wish I could elaborate on that more, but... It's a nice zoot suit. I'm getting married, so it's a wedding suit. I just tux, bow tie, and the whole nine yards.
I asked Mackenzie about how she, you know, rehearses alone, and if she, you know, pictures herself on stage and blocking and doing the movement and stuff like that. What is something you can tell us about your process for preparing?
It's very similar. When you sing, you want to think about when I get through this part, and early on, you should be comfortable enough in the music where you can just do the music and then add on the blocking and the emotional aspect and the facial aspect and sort of what's going on around you and on stage.
YouTube is a great resource these days.
Yes.
Did you do some rabbit hole research?
Yes.
You get different ideas from different.
Yes, it's interesting. And especially with this, because we're doing it under COVID protocol, there's certain things you just can't do. Like, you can't really get in somebody's face. You can't, even in my scene with Zerlina, even though we're getting married, we're never really closer than 4 feet. Spotify is also a great thing. A lot of people think it's like, where am I going to listen to classical music? It's not difficult to find. So you can listen to hundreds of recordings and hundreds of people and get very, very good ideas, especially about how you do vocal acting and how you can change your voice and how you sing. Because you don't have to have 100% tonality and 100% vocal resonance if it helps you convey some of the emotion of the piece.
I have seen that happen and thought, wow, that was a cool choice. You know, it feels a little more natural sometimes. Carl.
I was just going to say, when I gave John this aria, I warned him about it because it's only about a minute and a half long. It's very fast. And he's singing to three different characters, and Giovanni, Leporello, and Zerlina. And he has to, lightning quick, go from one to another, both physically and, you know, in sort of the vocal color, because he's, you know, snide and sarcastic to Giovanni, irritated with Leporello, and, you know, heavy angry with Zerlina, asking to be left alone with this guy. And he calls her a couple of choice Italian names in the course of the aria. And so it's quite an acting challenge, and the language comes very fast also.
Yes. That was another thing he warned me about, is that you have to – it's funny. It's very funny. Like I said, Dr. Kohler asked me for more – I believe the word was snide sarcasm. And me being me, that was just all too easy and all too fun to do.
Just holding it back.
As much as I wanted. But in the sense that – because Zerlina, his fiance, is wanting to stay with this guy for reasons he can't fathom. So he's genuinely hurt and he's genuinely confused. And that has to come through in 1.5 minutes. And, you know, he's only singing straight to Zerlina for about 30 seconds of those minutes.
We'll hear that short piece here and come back with John Graham and other members of the cast of Don Giovanni. That begins at 8 o'clock Friday night at Miller Auditorium, and again Sunday at 3 p.m. Details at the School of Music website. Music from Don Giovanni. It's an aria sung by the character Mazzetto, and John Graham is filling that role in two performances this weekend. I don't think this singer actually lost much tone. He sounded very strong in that recording. So I imagine you can actually bring it if you have to.
I don't like to brag, but oh yeah.
where did opera come into things for you? You mentioned playing saxophone too. So.
Yeah, I grew up in a musical family. Let's go back all the way to the beginning.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'm.
I grew up in a musical family. The high school I went to was very, very big on music. I kind of fell into choir because the two other electives I signed up for got canceled. So, I don't like to brag, but one of the reasons I do opera is because I'm good at it. I have a voice that's conducive to it, and I like doing it. So. Why wouldn't I?
For Carl, it's sort of, I picture you kind of stealthily walking around and listening for speaking voices that might trigger that could work.
You know, it's funny because sometimes I do hear people just talking and I say, why don't you come in and get a voice lesson? I think you've got it. But.
There is a quality that kind of exists in nature. That's wonderful. We have, 10 minutes left in this hour, and that will lead us finally to an aria. Where is it? Here it is, sung by Mackenzie. And we will we'll get to that to take us to the news at 11 o'clock. So now is probably the time to mention any and all contributors who are making a big impact on this production, which again is at 8 o'clock Friday and Sunday at 3 in Miller Auditorium. Are we talking? We could be talking about lighting, stage direction, other cast members to highlight that might interest folks. In fact, did we mention who's singing Don Giovanni?
Yes, Sid West. Sid is. An interesting person because he didn't start right away in singing. So he is this might be his fourth year, but his first year in voice. And so it's quite a challenge to suddenly walk into the title role. And, you know, this is even in the condensed version, it's a tremendous amount of singing. That both he and Leporello have a huge amount of singing to do, but especially, of course, that part. And he's doing a fantastic job of it.
Mm-hmm. Have you provided a way for the audience to follow along in English?
Right. So there will be running titles on the sidewalls, side screens next to the stage. So you can always glance up to see what's going on. Of course, when someone is dying or wooing or being angry, you can usually pretty much tell. But the titles are there. But also, it takes a little mental sorting because, you know, with so many trios and so forth, well, whose words am I looking at up on the screen? Oh, yeah, that was the angry character. But the entire text will be projected. So I think it'll be pretty clear what's going on in the story. There's some because there's a couple of gaps before the last scene, we don't get to see the scene where Don Giovanni invites the dead statue of the Commendatore to dinner. So that one's missing. The audience will just have to use their imagination about that.
Brooke, you wanted to add something.
Yeah, if I could add something about Sid, actually, because I know they'd want this to be mentioned. Sid actually went through a transition not that long ago with their voice as they transitioned to male. And it's amazing to see how they've progressed because when I met him, he was in my a cappella group and he started out as a soprano, like high soprano. And his voice has just progressed immensely since then. And because it's progressed and he's become more comfortable with his range and his voice, that's when he decided music was something he wanted to pursue. And it's just great to have that in this show because I think he's a great representation to the LGBTQ community, especially getting to perform this opera and is in the title role. And it just proves that you can transition and you can go through those difficult voice changes. And yes, it's hard. And it's like, I would say, going through puberty all over again and voice cracking like crazy. But he is doing an amazing job. And I just love that he gets to be the representation that I know he's always has been and always has wanted to be.
Thank you for bringing that up, being an advocate for your friend. And now we know that there's a significant step for Sydney West on stage for these performances. That's terrific. Well, we are now 7 minutes away from the top of the hour. So, Mackenzie, let's talk about this aria we're going to finish with now. I'd like 2 minutes if you could describe the the rest of your job as a grad assistant. Are you, and how much singing do you get to do?
Oh, so much singing, which is wonderful.
Do you work with undergraduate students as well?
I do, yes. So I teach a class for non-major students that are interested in singing in different capacities, which is wonderful. And I also teach a couple of voice lessons each semester, which is another passion of mine and something I'm hoping to pursue even more when I graduate here. I truly love giving lessons and working with people one-on-one. It's so fulfilling and rewarding to help people find their voices and come into their own.
When will you graduate with your master's?
I will be graduating, credit willing, but I'm all set to graduate in the spring.
So. Wow. So, Mackenzie, Donna Ana, as we learned earlier in the hour, her father was slain by Don Giovanni in a duel, which was legal at the time. Much later on in Act One, what does she have to say?
This aria is all about vengeance. I think I say vendetta quite a few times in this aria. But it is all about asking her fiancé, Ottavio, to help her right this wrong, and that she especially will not be able to move on with their life together until she sees justice done to the man that murdered her father.
One of many incredible songs coming your way for Don Giovanni. Carl, I'd like to give you the very last word on these performances.
I want to compliment all the students involved in this production for how they stepped up to the plate. They had a short time really to put such a massive thing together, and they did a wonderful job, and I'm very happy with what they've done.